I think that's better.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Take two.
All right.
So we've got Tony Mance is with us today, also aka Jack the Bear.
Hello.
And Tony has is quite well renowned for his mastering studio in Melbourne, and we're just talking about, you know, how would you describe the mastering process in the chain of events when someone's writing an album or making a record. And so how would you describe that, Tony, so if people want to know what you do?
Well, in a nutshell, I grab people's finished stereo mixes and optimise the fidelity, I guess, try and make them sound better, whether it's try and make them a little brighter or a little bit warmer, as well as get them louder and get them to a finished state so that they are ready then for manufacture, whether it be a CD or for vinyl or for online. So it's the final creative step, but it... Again, you're always at the limitation of the mix that you're given. So if you don't have a very good mix, obviously your options are limited. But if your mix is good, then ironically you kind of do less to get more out of it. But that's essentially it. So it's just the finishing off of a record.
It's funny because I remember my sound engineering teacher once said you can never polish a turd.
That's true. But you can, yeah, that's true. But you can always roll it in glitter.
Yes, that's right. You can roll it in glitter. I like that.
Yeah.
And so I guess, and this is how I've got to know Tony over the years. I used to own a bar on Russell Street in the city. It was called Tilt. Doesn't exist anymore. And back in the day, Tony did a lot of mastering for a lot of the DJs and producers that used to come and play in the bar. And so I got to meet Tony through that avenue, and we used to, you know, stay up to all hours of the morning drinking and hanging out and listening to good music and listening to a lot of good local DJs and producers. And then we sort of didn't see each other for about 10 years, and then I just finished writing some music and got online and had a look around and just trying to find a good mastering studio in Melbourne, and a few came up, but Tony's name just kept appearing, and I thought, I wonder what he's up to these days. So gave him a call and went down and went to his studio and had a bit of a listen and did the mastering for the music, which worked out really well because we got four of the tracks signed with System Recordings in New York, which is a positive.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, cheers. And so then I guess we're sitting there and we're doing some work together, and then I'll let Tony go on and describe how we ended up here at this podcast.
Yeah, I guess during the course of the session we just started talking, and as we were catching up as to where our lives have been over the last, you know, 8 to 10 years, how we just found that we had lots of similar views in terms of how we saw life and the universe and belief systems. And there was just this really great connection that unfolded. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, this guy, he really is like a brother from a different mother. It was quite extraordinary. And even though we hung out back in the old days in the club, you know, hanging out and with loud music and 4 o'clock in the morning and drinking, whatever, it's different. But, you know, it was actually a real, genuine, honest, authentic discussion. And you know, I thought, well, man, you know, seeing as, you know, we're just carrying on here, you know, we should do a podcast, man, you know, because I'm sure that there are probably other people who are fairly like-minded and you know, they may not be interested, but hey, let's just do it for us anyway. So after a couple of false starts due to family things, here we are today doing our first one, and we're just going to let it roll, man. Just see what happens, and hopefully someone will listen in and enjoy it, and looking if we can touch a few people's lives through it, and you know, make some kind of a positive impact as a result of it. Well, all well and good, and if not, we'll just be here for our own amusement and we'll have a good time. So you know,
yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And you know, we're just talking about, you know, some of the different things that we listen to and been researching, and you know, stuff about quantum physics and different philosophers, and yeah, it was just amazing how much different people that we'd been, you know, reading about and looking into that were so similar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which was really cool. But I was going to say, before we go on about that, from last time I saw you 10 years ago, you look like a totally different man. What's been going on?
Well, I've lost a lot of weight, as I prefer to use the word released, because when you lose something, subconsciously you're always trying to find it and get it back. But maybe it's semantics, I don't know, maybe it's all bullshit. But anyway, look, I've I lost a lot of weight. I was at a point about 12 months ago or so, I was in a, probably not in the best place, Andrew. You know, I was really unhappy and happy on the outside to the world, but not happy on the inside. And I was very overweight and struggling with lots of my own bullshit, basically. I think that's probably the best way to describe it. You know, very unfulfilled in my marriage, and that's not a reflection on my ex. She's a great lady, and I love her and respect her a great deal. And you know, but it made me face up. I had to face up to a lot of stuff, and so I had a DMT experience, and that absolutely just shook my world sideways. It really just made me face up to a lot of stuff. So that was a catalyst to making me change to getting real with life and being honest with myself and losing weight and getting just tackling the issues, I guess, in my life, the monkeys off my back. So just got rid of a lot of weight. Left the marriage, still going through that process right now. But got myself healthy, got myself well, got myself emotionally healthy and well. Went and saw a life coach, a lady by the name of Erica Sclevis, who runs a business called Empowered Living. And I can honestly tell you, Matt, she single-handedly was probably the biggest influence on me in terms of facilitating the process of what I had to go through, and therefore has inspired me to want to, you know, I started my own thing called motivational speaking in hope that I can help others. Look, you know, I don't really have any grand plans for it, mate, but look, I kind of feel that I'm probably not the only one out there that's, you know, felt that way, and some people just don't know where to go, where to turn to. So by changing things and changing the way I live and changing the way I think and being a different person, you know, here I am today. So it's an ongoing journey, mate. You know how it is.
Yeah. So I just want to ask you though, was the first point of call when you said, okay, I want things to be different now, was that the DMT? Was that the point that you took DMT, or was there something else that happened before that, and then you decided, okay, you know, I'm going to try this and this is, because I know a lot of people that take a lot of different psychedelics, whether it's mushrooms or DMT or
acid or whatever. Yeah. Look, you know, there's a common saying, they say that you don't find DMT, it finds you.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. I wasn't seeking it or trying. I mean, I'd heard about it and et cetera, but I wasn't actively looking for it. I guess up until that point, I knew that things weren't quite great and I wanted to change, and I'd made little steps to do bits and pieces but kept falling back. But what DMT did, that was the real big smack at the back of the head. That was the real wake up, and that's what made me just go, whoa, okay, this is like the new starting point. I'm not saying that it gave me all the answers. If anything, it probably gave me a whole lot of new questions, you know. But it just set me off on a different direction, which I'm really grateful for, because I felt that perhaps my life was at a crossroads, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go down this direction, which has given more benefits, shall we say, you know. And there's a saying, you know, they say that if you do what you've always done, you get what you've always got.
Yeah.
So I needed a shake up. And it's been tumultuous to say the least the last 12 months. But all for the better anyway. But I'm great. As I speak to you now, man, I'm the best I've been in terms of my physicality and my emotional, my spirituality, my just everything. My day to day is, you know, I wouldn't change it. No regrets.
You know, it's funny because as I've seen you recently and I speak to a lot of other friends in my life and that I've known for long periods of time as well. And even my closest friend that I've known since I was, we lived across the road from each other since I was 11 years old, and, you know, and we're still best of friends. And he's actually gone through this process himself naturally.
Yeah.
And so he's gone through all this weight loss because of, you know, doctors prescribing antibiotics over a long period. So he got a yeast infection, then all these other things started to happen. Mm. And during this process, him getting healthy has made him think clearer. You know, he's sharper. He's, you know, things are all coming together for him, and things are, you know, are really working out. And then I look at one of my wife's friends, and she's going through this process where she's got a a personal coach,
A life coach, yeah.
A life coach. Mm-hmm. And so my wife and her are going off this weekend to do a 3-day seminar with a personal coach or with a life coach. And so what I'm finding is that more and more people are going through this process of self-development, and it's astounding how it's, I don't know, you know, they say, is it the 100th monkey, you know, when everyone wakes up at the same time? Is it that, or, you know, it just seems to be more and more people, and more and more people are now willing to, you know, stop looking outside and trying to change the world outside of them and actually, you know, refocusing inwards. And I think that's the real positive change to society, because once we change ourselves, we change everything else around us.
Oh, absolutely. And I believe that too. I think it all comes from within yourself, and it's a mindset. Everything is in your mind and your perception. And it's like Wayne Dyer said, you know, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so true. And I'm feeling it too, man. Just more and more people I speak to, that, I don't know if you call it a consciousness of changing across the world or... But certainly I think more and more people they're starting to ask questions, they're trying to work things out, and sometimes I don't even wonder if there's anything to work out. But certainly I'm finding that my journey's becoming more internal, and I'm looking more inside, and, you know, doing things like meditating a lot more, and to try and, you know, get clarity and try and get more understanding of self and stuff like that. So, yeah, but you're right. There's definitely... I don't know if I want to call it a movement as such, but certainly there's a shift going on.
Yeah. You know? I was going to adjust your microphone for
a second. Yeah, cool, man. Do your thing. As you can see, we got so high tech here, but it's okay. One day when we get a sponsor, that'll cash us up, and we'll get it really super pimping.
Yeah, hopefully. But look, what are your thoughts though on you know, everyone says the society is structured in a way that it makes it harder and harder for us to break out of that shell and to move forward as people, you know, with everything, the way that society is structured, the way that we have to go to work, and most people, you know, they do jobs that probably don't really enjoy. You know, people tend to get stuck in a rut and find it harder and harder to get out of that rut. Mm. What do you think of that? What do you say to those people? Those people that just think that, you know, there's no way out. What do they do?
Well, that's, you know, they say the two hardest things in life are getting started and not quitting.
Yeah.
And I think for those people, when you're in a rut and you feel that way, it's very hard to see through the doom and gloom. I think it just requires some kind of discipline, or I think it requires you first to be honest with yourself to kind of realize, okay, I'm not happy with what's going on. I don't really like what's going on in my life. This is not working for me. And then having enough conviction to say, okay, I'm going to do something about it. And if you don't know how to go about doing it, then surely everyone must know someone that, or they have, there's someone that they look up to, admire. So then it's like, okay, well, I'll start asking questions and talking to people that are getting results and find out, okay, what are these people doing? How are they going about doing what they've done? Or if they've made change in their life, how have they gone about and done that? So, you know, like people say, oh, you know, I did this on my own. I don't think anyone really does anything on their own. We're all kind of in this thing together, and we're all kind of support each other. So, yeah, it's okay to sort of look, outsource, if you will, get some information, get online, educate yourself. I think it starts, first of all, with just that aha moment of like, okay, I'm done with this. As I said to people before, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you always got. So it's either like everything's about choice, man. What are you going to do? You're going to sit there and you're going to just continue on with the same results and just get more and more frustrated, or you're going to actually do something about it. So I guess to those people, the message is it can be done.
Yeah.
If I can turn my life around to a point where I'm just so much happier than what I was, and I'm achieving what I want to achieve, and living the life I pretty much want, and setting up a platform, you know, to do bigger and better things, hopefully down, then that's hope for anyone, really.
Yeah.
It just requires some belief and some discipline, and you'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. And I think I think everyone goes through, even myself, you know, some of the periods in my life where, you know, not proud of, and the worst parts of my life, you know, I look back at them and I go, you know, I was a fucking idiot, you know, and I did all these bad, you know, I did all these terrible things, and, you know, I was drinking ridiculously, and I was consuming loads of drugs, and I was doing all these, you know, and just pretty much on a path of self-destruction, you know. And so it's hard to get out of that. And you know, I totally agree with one of the positive parts of it was actually being healthy. And the healthier that I was, and the more exercise I was doing, and the better that I felt physically, the better I felt mentally, and I was able to deal with some of those real difficult moments in my life.
Yeah. Couldn't agree anymore. You know, they say that people that with depression, they say that 70% of those people, if they just had a good clean diet, had good sleep hygiene, so just a good regular sleep pattern, and just a regular exercise, would avert any need for any kind of antidepressants or anything like that whatsoever. And yeah, I totally agree. And you're right, man. I think your health, your physical health, as well as your mental health, in terms of the outlook and how you see yourself. And I think this is like the issues of self-esteem, self-love, these kind of things, which I think are very important. Because lots of people, when they go off and make change, or they want to make change, or get healthy, it's like you got to ask yourself, why am I doing this? What is the reason? If it's a woman who's wanting to lose weight because she just wants to be good on her wedding day, that could be fine and dandy in the short term. But then what happens after she got married?
Yeah.
Or if you're doing it because you're trying to impress someone or whatever, I think it all has to come to you. And again, you've got to be good within yourself, and you've got to do it for selfish reasons, if you will.
Yeah.
And then if you're good, then everything else kind of sort of dovetails from that. But health, man, it's everything.
Yeah. And I think with health, one of the other things, and I find one of the biggest issues is getting sun. You know, we have this campaign in Australia, you know, slip, slop, slap, you know, sunscreen this. You know, most women's makeup have UV protection, like the foundations and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But your body requires some natural sunlight. Like, it needs some, because the sun gives you vitamin D.
Vitamin D, man.
It releases natural endorphins. And you know what the scariest thing is? Harvard University recently released this report, and this report actually said that most sunscreens actually are causing skin cancer. And it's happening because of two reasons. Listen to how freaky this is. One of the reasons is because the sun gives you, they call it UVAs and UVBs. There's two types of rays that you get from the sun.
Yeah.
And I think it is the UV, if I remember correctly, most sunscreens block the UV, the ultraviolet B.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what stops you from getting cancer. The UVB gives you the vitamins in your body to stop it from getting cancer. But that's what actually sunscreen blocks.
Ah.
Right? And so this is the thing. So since this campaign started 30 years ago in Australia, our skin cancer epidemic has grown rapidly.
Wow.
Right? And the other thing is, with really cheap sunscreens, they actually block the pores in your skin.
Yeah.
Okay. So your skin doesn't breathe. It doesn't naturally breathe like the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
It's like women putting makeup all the time. It stops their face breathing. Uh-huh. And so you get all these are the other issues. So now, you know, even a lot of medical institutes are actually, and there's been a number of articles recently written about, you know, sunscreen and the damage it is causing on society, and how much worse it's actually making for people. So, yeah, it's funny. And you know, not just the physical element. You know, I know I've got a skin deficiency. You know, people that know me know that I look a little bit different. And so, you know, I've got to be more cautious than most people. And, you know, so we're very careful about the types of sunscreen that we use. We try to use organic products and things like that, and products that are actually being tested by, you know, the Skin and Cancer Foundation, and not just using, you know, what's advertised on TV most of, you know, that month of the year.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and once again, above all that, you know, the vitamin D and the natural serotonin that you get, or that your brain releases when it's in the sun. You know, that's why they say people are happier in summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so we just got to make the effort to, you know, if you work in an office, you go out for your lunch break, go outside, don't sit at your desk, you know, try to get a little bit of sun, you know, fresh air, some sun, get out of that air-conditioned processed air bloody high-rise tower that you're in, and you know, and those sitting under those bloody UV lights, you know.
And even just movement. They say that people that sit for long periods of time, you know, you can, you're more susceptible to a lower immune system. So, you know, just getting up and just walking around a bit, just movement. You know, they say that motion causes emotion. So just any kind of movement at all. So, because so many people now are living, I mean, in my job, I mean, my, as a master engineer, I'm sitting at a console and it is a sedentary kind of job. But I find that, you know, after a few minutes, I've got to get up, then I'll go on the couch at the back of the room, have a listen, get up, go back to the listening position and just keep moving, just keep moving, just keep moving. So I think that's really, really important. But it's funny you mentioned vitamin D, dude, because I went and saw a doctor. I was put onto a really, really good sports doctor, nutritionalist, and he works, a guy called Dr. Peter Lewis, great doctor, works a lot within the bodybuilding and boxing and kickboxing scenes. And when it comes to sports nutrition, medicine and male health, he's a real gun. And he said to me, look, we'll do a blood test on you and just to sort of establish your baseline. And my vitamin D was, and iron, but vitamin D was chronically low, which doesn't surprise me because being in a studio for most parts of the day and indoors and not surprising. So he put me on a very, you know, sort of a high dose regime, and it's still not quite where it needs to be, but it's a lot better than what it was. But but it's even got it ties into things like as I've learned about with your hormone and your immune system. So vitamin D, like it's real important, man. It's a huge one. I think a lot of people should if you don't know what your vitamin D level is, go and do it. You owe it to yourself to do it, and it's easily rectifiable, and you'll feel a difference. Truly, it's quite staggering how much better you feel.
Well, they did this. I saw this other research that was on, I think it was on CNN in America. I'll have to look it up again. It was on YouTube that I got it off, but they were talking about patients that got cancer. It was something like about 70% of them were deficient in vitamin D.
Not
and
surprised.
So vitamin D. So we're not just talking about skin cancer now. We're talking about cancer general.
General, yeah.
And so what they're saying is that if you you know, through winter, if you take vitamin D supplements, and in summer you can get out and you spend more time in the sun, you know, we have longer days and that sort of thing, then you know you're less likely to get sick, you're less likely to get cancer, you're less likely to, you know, to not feel like shit, and you know, and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, definitely, I think, yeah. So, and I know I remember you did telling me, and at some stage you were ill.
I mean, I had a little experience of cancer years and years ago, but I've been good, man. I've been real good. I've been really good and clear. But the other thing is about alkalinity, about that, you know, cancer needs to be, if it's an alkaline state, it just can't thrive. So again, it's just the leafy greens and look. Andrew and I are talking about this stuff here, and look, let's just say we're not nutritionalists, man. We're not experts in this kind of field at all. This is just stuff that I guess we picked up on the way and what seems to be working for us and what we seem to read online. But I think it's most people would scientists now agree that you need to be in a high alkaline state. So it's less of your red meats shit like that, and just processed food, man. Just rubbish. You know what I mean? Sugar and all that kind of crap. So,
well, speaking of, look, one of the things I've got on the table here,
yeah,
is a slice that that my wife has made, and what it is, it's just raw nuts.
Yep.
Dates.
Yep.
And some honey. There's no sugar in it. There's no cooked product in it. It's a raw slice. You got to try it because it's pretty good.
I'm going to give it a live little try.
Mm. Everyone that's tried it has really enjoyed it, and they go, "How can it be so sweet without any sugar in it?" Right.
But this is the shit, man. This is great.
How good is it?
Mrs. Denari, 11 out of 10. No, seriously.
It's good, isn't it?
It's really good.
And you know, people say, well, you know, most healthy food tastes like shit, you know, people. And it's because what happens, I think people's taste buds get accustomed to eating shit. And so, you know, all that processed stuff. But when you start eating healthy, and then you go back to eating something that's not good, that's not healthy, you'll just taste and you go, man, this doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
You know, and so the healthier you eat and, you know, the better things, the more that those things will taste the way that they should. And, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And there's lots of good recipes out there too.
Yeah. You know? And when it comes to organics, it's funny, I've just recently started getting more and more into buying organics, and Yeah, you know, it does cost a little bit more when you look at the price, but you know what? Because it's just nutritionally a lot more dense, you don't need to eat as much.
Yeah.
And so really it isn't really as expensive as what you – plus the fact that, you know, you for most part you're supporting smaller farmers and money goes to them and you're not necessarily – you know, helping the corporations and whatnot. So that's a good thing as well. So, you know, it's a good feeling to know that if you can deal with a farmer or particularly if it's something that's a bit more localised, yeah, that's a good thing too. That's just a little bit more of a feel-good type of thing. But purely in terms of health, yeah, for sure, man. I don't think I'll ever stray from eating organic or as much organic as I can possibly get anyhow.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that that when you eat – good quality food and you're eating healthy food, you definitely don't need as much. So what people say is, oh, well, you know, to eat, you know, good food all the time, it's really expensive. Well, actually, it's not. Initially, it does seem more expensive because your body's naturally used to consuming large amounts. But as you get to more nutritionally dense food, your consumption becomes less, less and less. And so it actually doesn't become as expensive as people initially, you know, think that it actually is.
Mm. Absolutely. So, listen, on that note, can we just put the pause button on for a sec?
Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
All right.
We're back. We're back. I got to say, man, you got a really nice high-tech toilet in there.
Thanks, man.
It's great. It was worthwhile holding on to just so I can come and have a shit in your toilet, dude.
Mate, you're welcome. Anytime. The doors are always open.
Thanks, mate.
Hey, while you were in the crapper and you were doing your business, I was just sitting on the coffee table. I've got this Veritas magazine, and the Veritas, this is the Australian one. I know there's other ones. There's one, I think there's one in America.
Is there? I don't know. It's the first time I've seen it, so.
Yeah. And pretty much it's a magazine about, you know, consciousness and self-awareness and self-healing and
cool.
Anything to do with conspiracy theory, extraterrestrials.
Wow.
It covers a broad range of topics.
Yep.
But one of the cool things is that obviously we're talking about before, it says the 80-20 rule. And it says this rule has literally, totally, and undeniably changed my entire life and how I see the world. Simply stated, the rule says that 20% of our thoughts, words, and action lead to 80% of the results in your life.
Wow.
I like that. I like that philosophy. It's a pretty cool philosophy.
Yep.
The other thing that's got in there is David Wilcock is coming to Australia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You going to see him?
Yeah, I bought some tickets. Look, okay. I've heard you know on YouTube and I've heard him speak heaps of times, and so I know what he's about. And look, there's some things that I agree with, and some things that I think not quite sure. But I still like going to these things, and the cool thing is you get to meet interesting people while you're there as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So we get to meet.
Hang on, before he claims to be the reincarnation of
yes,
Edgar Cayce.
Edgar Cayce, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I don't know, man. Look, I guess he's well entitled to say whatever he wants to say. How would one know? I don't know. I mean, I know they've said, oh, look, here's a, once on YouTube I saw something where he showed an old picture of him and an old picture of Edgar Cayce, one of him. And look, do you know what, man? I guess I could say that I was the reincarnation of Socrates and I could find a bust of his and say, look at the nose, you know, and oh, I don't know, man. Look, I think that's for him to say. Look, I'm in no position to dispute it.
Yeah.
I can't prove otherwise. I mean, now if he wants to make those kind of claims, I guess that's for him to make. And if he feels that he can do that and put his head on the pillow at night and be fine with it, then you know, good on him. You know what I mean? But well, what about you? What do you think?
Look, for someone to say they're a reincarnation, this is my belief. My belief and my thought about, you know, death and then back to life and those sorts of things. Do we have reincarnation? Yes, but I don't think it's in the definition that we think reincarnation is, which is you die as one thing and you're reborn as something else. Mm. My philosophy of reincarnation is when you die, you go back to, if you want to call it the source field, the energy field, God, whatever that one central thing, however you want to describe it, and then you come back out of that. And you become another being or you become something else. And that's the reincarnation. So the reincarnation is
A recycling of energy?
It's a recycling of energy. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the best way to describe it. And that's how I think it is. Now, who knows? You know, I haven't died. You know, maybe I've died 10 times. I just don't remember.
Yeah.
And I've come back to life. But that would be my, after everything that I've read and everything that I've listened to, and I think everyone needs to come up with their own judgment.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think whatever that judgment is needs to actually help benefit the way that you live your life and what you, and you know, the way that you feel about certain things and how you develop as a person. Because if I think that every action that I do contributes to the whole, then I'm more conscious about my actions and my awareness and what I say and what I do, you know, and how I interact with people, and to make sure that I continually at least try to grow. And I know I'm not the perfect person, and I know I'm far from perfect, but at least it's my strive to continually improve as a person on a daily basis, you know, and just with the small steps. So,
and that thing, I don't think you can quantify these things, and I don't think it's a race, and it's about being the best you can be. That's the way I see it. You know, but as far as the whole reincarnation thing, I don't know, the jury's out for me. Look, the bottom line in all of this, mate, this is why I'm so fascinated with what we're talking about and we've discussed in the past and no doubt we'll continue to, is that I really don't know. I don't. And I'm open to anyone who's got something to say or something to contribute to a discussion. I'm open to listening to whatever anyone's got to say. I mean, there's certain things that resonate with me more so than others, but are they absolute truth? Fuck, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I don't know whether that's the point. I don't know whether there is such a thing does exist. I know that people say that there is a truth, but look, I don't know, mate. My main concern is, like you said, it's just about trying to be more present, just trying to be more in the moment, trying to enjoy my day to day as much as I can, and be as happy as I can possibly be, and the rest seems to kind of take care of itself. You know, to sit there and try and worry too much about the future, what's going to happen, and you know, oh shit, I better start getting my shit together, because if I don't, then I'm going to have more karma points in the next life or this. You can just get yourself so worked up in a fucking tiz, man, and that defeats the whole purpose. I mean, you know, we're in this, you know, supposed reality, and it's a gift, man. It's great, you know, like, just enjoy it, man. Just take it for what it is and just, you know, go with it. But anyway, David Wilcock, go on. We went on this fucking tangent here, but, yeah, you know, go on.
Well, I was going to say, what he became famous for, he became famous for the idea and the notion that the 2012, and a lot of people talk about 2012 and the Mayan calendar, and now recently, I don't know if you saw that there's a new calendar now.
Yeah, that extends even further. Yeah.
And so his idea was that, you know, December 21st, 2012, is that it'll be an upgrade of our DNA. And so we would be, you know, more aware and more sophisticated beings. And or, you know, would have increased senses. So, you know, you'll have like a sixth sense or whatever. And, you know, I heard a guy that speaks about, Jason Silver, he talks about technology and he talks about all these different things.
Yeah, he's a fucking smart dude,
and
man.
A real young guy too, and he's on the money. Mm. And you know, the one thing that he really talks about is that, you know, we will have a sixth sense, and we already do through technology. You know, we look at our phones. I can communicate with, you know, with a family member that's on the other side of the world without even talking to them. You know, it's in my hand. He goes, what about that for a sixth sense? What about that as the development of a human being is through the technology that we actually use? And, you know, and he goes on, he raves on about like the iPhone and, you know, how in the 1960s, a supercomputer that used to be, you know, $100 million, used to take five stories of a building. You know, your iPhone today is more powerful than it, and it fits in your pocket, and it's only worth, you know, a couple, you know, $1,000. So, yeah, it's quite interesting. But the thing about David Wilcock is that, you know, he really talks about, you know, very specific timelines. And then I heard him do a speech just recently where he was doing his radio show, which he posts up on YouTube. And he doesn't talk about 2012 so much now. He talks about 2012 to 2016, and as it's an evolving period.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, is he changing the tone in his voice? He still, you know, has a strong focus on extraterrestrials and what their part is in them interfering with the way that we develop as you know, as a species, and what their involvement is. And so he comes up with some fascinating points, and some of it you can say, yeah, you know what, that's quite possible, and some of it you try to think, not quite sure about that. But, you know, I go because I like to take the things that I want to take out of it, and the things that I don't, you know, that I don't like or whatever, I leave it at the door.
Yeah, true. Fair enough. You know, so I'll be. So when's it on? When's it happening?
So that's in Melbourne. Is on the 16th of June.
Okay,
but so he's doing New Zealand, Saturday. Sydney, Brisbane, Perth. So he's doing he's doing the rounds.
I'll be interested to actually once you go. You know, next time we get together, we can have a chat about it. But I'll be curious to hear what he has to say. The one thing about him, from what I've seen, is that I don't mind some stuff he's on about. And even though he's quite a techie guy, and I'm the least techie person on the planet, he does have a pretty good way of breaking it down. And the other thing I like about him is that he's generally quite positive in what he puts out. Unlike you know, people like, you know, David Icke, for example, or Alex Jones, and I'm sure they play their role, and sometimes you need people like that to wake people up a bit and sort of make them create an awareness of, like, hey, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? But I think that people that put it out there in not such a fearful way, you know, because it you know, like if you look at Alex Jones, I mean, Alex Jones probably does a lot of great things and has made people aware to a lot of shit that otherwise we wouldn't know about.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you know, he does it in a way that it creates another kind of fear, you know. So it's really, he's giving with one hand but taking away with the other. Yeah. And
I can't listen. Look, I listen to his show once a week. I'll put it on for about 20 minutes, half an hour, and that's about as much as I can stomach. I think you just can't listen to it for long periods of time, and you can't listen to a lot of it. You're right. It's draining, and also not to mention all the ads that happen every 4 minutes or every 5 minutes that go in out of that show. But look, they cover some really cool stuff. They get some really good government documents. They get some really cool information, but it's all the other stuff that goes with it that makes it a little bit hard to listen to, especially a lot of it anyway.
Yeah, I just find him a bit too much, and same with David Icke as well. Whether what he's on about is real or not, or whether it's believable or not, is neither here nor there for me. But I think that it's funny because I've listened to his lectures, and he talks about, you know, fear, Reptilian agenda, all this kind of stuff, and then there's a lot of talk about what's wrong, but not enough talk about what the solution is. But, you know, he'll probably give you 80, you know, you talk about 80-20 rule. In his case, it's like 80% or more of the fear. And then at the end, it's like, oh, what's the answer? Oh, it's love. You know, it's, you know, just love. And he gives it, a very sort of simple thing. But I think it's better to make people aware of what's going on, or whatever your research is, but I think it's also up to people to take responsibility for themselves, to go out there and look, you know, I mean, don't necessarily just take on board, because you're just being as much of a sheep as listening to the TV or listening to a politician or whatever. I'm always very skeptical of anyone that says, I have all the answers. I really am skeptical. And some people may be well-meaning, and they may be very well-educated, and they may be very smart and done research, but I get very skeptical when people say they have the definitive answer. I get very skeptical, and I really shut down. I think, man, just you know, present the information, put it out there, give us a reason as to why you're saying what you're saying. Yeah. If you got any criticism about anything, the system or whatever, fine, bring it out there, but then offer something. And even if it's not the right answer or a good answer, at least I'll respect someone for at least putting it out there. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. But I think everyone seems, again, we're talking about this internal, external thing. Everyone seems to be looking for answers, and everyone's looking for other people to, like, you know, let them know what's up and how it's going to be and what we need to do, when really, you know, we need to take more responsibility for ourselves and take on more personal sovereignty and learn to trust within ourselves, you know, like what we think is right and what, you know.
But don't you think it's important also to know why things are the way that they are, especially in this, you know, in this society, the way that it's constructed?
Yeah, sure, sure.
So there's, I definitely think there's value in people reading and researching and learning and taking away what they need to take away from it for their point of their life.
Yeah.
That's right. I definitely think it's important. I think it's important to look outside of mainstream media.
I think it's important to
do your reading. And one of the things that I think that really helped me is learning a lot about psychology and learning about that why we think the way that we think and how everything around us plays an influence, and how we can manage that better so that we can start to generate, you know, better thoughts and better feelings and become better people.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that was some of the real positives into, you know, into looking into these things. And one of the most positive people, though, I love hearing him talk, even if you don't agree with what he says. He's so well spoken, and he just speaks with so much heart. He's Greg Braden.
I'm a great fan of his, and one of the things I particularly like about him is that because he's a scientist. He comes from a scientific background, so yeah. he understands that world. He brings that sensibility, but he also brings a lot of heart into it, and he's positive, and he gives you he breaks it down for someone like me, who's a real simple kind of person. You know, I don't read lots of books. I'm not technical. I don't get into the minutiae. You know, I just like just tell me how it is. Explain it to me in layman's terms. What can I do and make it practical? And yeah, I like a lot of his philosophy, and I particularly like, you know, how he says how you can change things by simple things like smiling at someone. Just a simple smile at someone in the street has an effect, you know. And so I can do that, or I can be cool to someone, or whatever he sort of puts out. It doesn't require you to go to get a degree, or it doesn't require a huge amount of effort. And it's always very, very positive. So, yeah, I'm a great fan of his work. I love him. He's great.
Yeah. And I like
his philosophy. But he's got to do something about his fucking hairdo, man. His hairdo is fucked. Sorry, Greg.
The big white lion. That's what I like to call him, the white lion.
Totally, man. Totally, man. He needs a new style in that dude, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I like it. He also talks about about self healing and some of the stuff in one of his videos where he showed these healers in China, and they had like this. Did you see that?
With the ultrasound on the bladder cancer, I think it was, and they're basically telling him that you are healed, or it is gone. That intention of like and it was quite extraordinary footage.
Yeah,
but you know, but the mainstream don't want you to see that, do they?
What do you think about mystical stuff like that? Because a lot of people say, well, you know, that's mystical, you know, natural healers, you know, because there's a lot of scammers out there. Loads of scammers. And people hear, all they hear about is everyone getting scammed, and very few people actually hear about they went and worked, you know, they went to somebody and it worked and it was all good. And, you know, we don't hear about those positive things. All we hear about is the scammers.
Yeah. Well, that's true, but that's like with anything, man. Everyone's always quick to point out the negative. It's like if you do 100 things for somebody and 99 are good and one thing is not so great, that's what you're going to be remembered for, that one time you forgot to do something or say something or complete something or whatever. But to answer your question, mysticism, the mind's a very powerful thing, dude, and that's been very well documented, and even things like placebo and stuff. Look, man, I think if you can tell yourself you are something, then you are something. Then that's it. You become that. As to whether it's necessarily mysticism, I don't know. I really don't. And to be honest, I don't know if I even care so much. I mean, I'm more about results. I say it this way: if something works, then that's all that really should matter. As to why and how it works, I guess that is important, because then that's knowledge that can be passed on. But as to whether it's mysticism or into mysticism, I don't, not necessarily. But again, I'm open, man. Like I said, if you've got something to tell me about it, and I'll give you an open ear, and I'll check it out. But
I'll tell you, let me tell you about a fascinating story about my mother's cousin.
Yep.
And when I was younger, my parents are from Lebanon. And so when I was younger, my parents took us to Lebanon and we went to go visit him. And he's a monk that meditates in a cave and only sees people for 4 hours a day. And the rest of the rest of his day is meditation and prayer.
Damn.
And I'm not promoting Catholicism. Catholicism is a religion. I know there's lots of issues and whatever, but we're talking about meditation now. We're talking about your connection to something that's higher than yourself.
Mm.
And the fascinating thing is when you walked into the room, and even if he'd never met you before, he could tell you everything about you. He'd tell you what your demons are. You know, the stuff that he would say to you, nobody would know but you.
Wow.
You know, and so then I think, well, okay, so obviously there's got to be like a central energy out there that you know, that, you know, we talk about the yogis and all those people that meditate and that understand, that have a higher understanding and a higher awareness, and they can tap into information that that we naturally can't do because of our circumstances, or because of our, you know, we obviously don't invest enough time into our own spirituality or whatever it might be. And so there must be like, you know, I don't want to call it a unified field, a source field or something. There must be like a central energy field where people can tap into, and they can, you know.
Like the Akashic Records, that sort of thing. Is that it, the Akashic Records, what they call it? There's a library, apparently it's all, has the answer to everything that ever has and ever will be, et cetera. But anyway, continue, yeah. Mate.
Actually, I have heard about that, yes.
Yeah. So continue, sorry, mate.
But yeah, so I don't know. And so that's my thought. My thought is that there's got to be something, if people are able to do it. And it's not just him. You know, there's been, there's been many yogis in India and in places like that have been able to do that, and that have a much higher awareness and that say very little and have a real strong communication with, you know, with the people around them, and people go and visit them and they walk away feeling, you know, with very, very little words said, that they just feel like there's some sort of spiritual enlightenment just from being close to that person or being, you know, interacting with that person. There was a good episode. Do you ever watch the Louis Theroux?
Louis Wild Weekends.
He did this one thing.
Weird Weekends, that's right.
Louis Theroux's Weird Weekend. I think, is it on ABC or SBS? Sure.
It's been on Seven. Yeah, it's been on a few of the networks anyway.
Yeah. And one of the episodes he did is about like finding spirituality, and he goes to India.
Okay.
And he's a real skeptic.
Yeah.
But one of the cool things is he gets to India and to the one of the most famous like yogis, and he goes out to see them. And there's like thousands of people, and he gets to give him a hug. And he said, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but something was different at that moment.
Yeah.
And so like he felt like the something around him was, you know, had changed and something was different. And so, you know, that's why I think that there's obviously more to what's going on than what we're actually aware of.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, it doesn't get educated to us in our schooling system. It doesn't get, you know, those things aren't raised as you know, important points in our life, but which I think they need to be.
Yeah, well, a lot of that stuff's, I guess, blown off as airy-fairy and, you know, or New Age perhaps or whatever. But, yeah, no, you're right. I think it's important that to get a balanced view and some input from all different areas. And then after that, you just use your own filtration system to decide as to what works for you and what doesn't work for you. But certainly a lot of that stuff is shut right out. And but I think if more people were kind of at least made aware of it, I'm not necessarily advocating that it's the right way, but at least if they're made aware of it, then they can probably make more informed choices to what they do.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
Cool.
So on that note, you reckon we'll call it a day for today?
Yeah, I think we will. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for being here, mate. Thanks for having me here. And this is our first podcast, mate. So we'll just see how it goes. And we're just going through this a process of experimentation and just trying to see what works, and we'll just go from there. But thanks, Angel. It's good fun, man.
Thank you. And hopefully we'll squeeze one more in before I go away, because I'm going to go away for 3 weeks. I'm going to the States.
When?
I'm going in July. I started.
Oh yeah, shit. Yeah, we should do it. Easy.
So we'll squeeze one more. We'll try to squeeze one more in before we head off.
Cool, man. Easy. Done. Nice one. Thanks, mate. Talk to you. Bye.
Thanks.